From the 20-yard line.
You're listening to the Casual Sports Show.
Palmer stepping away at first. Palmer extending the play.
There.
Crosses the field. Larry Fitzgerald. Fitzgerald is going to take it into Green Bay territory.
The show exclusively known as the voice of the Arizona Cardinals fan club, the Bird Gang.
Fitzgerald inside the 30, the 20.
Now, with your host, Earl Burnett, a.k.a. Casual E.
Bird Gang on three. One, two, three. Bird Gang.
Welcome back into the Casual House Bird Gang, Suns Nation. All you wonderful sports fans out there, it is another week starting the Casual Sports Show. And we have been graced with after three long, gruesome weeks of losing. Man, we get to come back in and talk about a win for a change.
Too far in between,
you know what I mean? Not supposed to be that far in between, but nevertheless, we're going to talk about a Cardinals win today. But you want to join us and be part of this show, go ahead and hit us up on our four major outlets on social media, of course. That would be Facebook and Facebook Live, Instagram, Twitter, and of course our YouTube page, all with the same tag. Excuse me. Casual Sports, that's K-A-Z-U-A-L, and the Z's at the end of the word sports. Also, go ahead and hit us up on the website as well and get the mobile apps for Android and for iOS, www.ksrnaz.com. And also, the show is live on KSRN. Right there on either on your webpage or right there on the app as well. So get it at your beck and call. You can get any of the shows that you want to on any of our other places where you are, wherever you get your podcast, because we are just about everywhere on podcast, Spotify, TuneIn, you name it, we're on there. So what's going on, Mr. McConnell? I forgot we didn't even introduce ourselves. I'm Earl Burnett, of course, and this is my man, Sean McConnell, co-host of the show, and everybody knows that already, but that's supposed to be the first thing we do in the beginning of the broadcast.
I told you, man, when we come off a win, we're just not focused, man.
Yeah, I know, man.
I mean, that's the Cardinals' problem, too. We're just not focused when we win. So when we lose, we just get real way too focused. I don't know. I'm feeling good, man. It was a good showing by the Cardinals. I feel a little bit better. But the Cardinals. Granted, it is an NFC East team, so I can't feel great, but I feel a little better.
Oh, you never turn down a win. I'm sorry. I'll take exactly a win any day. I'm still kind of in awe right now. I'm looking at this Suns game, and the CP3 is actually in a Suns uniform, man. It just looks weird. It just looks weird. I'm sitting there going, wait a minute. Am I finna wake up or something? I mean, I know he's in the down times of his career probably, but still, it just feels like, man, he actually came here, man. It's like really weird. It just looks weird. But anyway, they're in a battle with the Jazz right now, 41-39, and both those teams are at full strength right now, and they're going at it.
That's a potential playoff series.
Oh yeah, man, I'm looking at it. They are battling too. It's like this West is gonna be something else, man. It's gonna be tough in this West. This show is also brought to you by the good folks of CASA. Of course, every weekend or every week we give that information out about CASA, court-appointed special advocates, where you can sponsor a child in the foster system or represent them in the court's system for foster care, or you can actually be a foster parent if you want to do that as well. Go ahead and give them a look at their website if you want more information about that. It's at voicesforcasachildren.org. voicesforcasachildren.org. So, man, Donovan Mitchell is doing his thing. Booker's doing his thing. And just look, this NBA is back, man.
Yeah, I'm excited.
It's not in a bubble.
No, it's not in a bubble. That's a quick turnaround. I'm still kind of scared about the quick turnaround, but this Suns Jazz thing. I feel like we're gonna be saying this a lot. Suns against Jazz, like it's a great matchup. They match up well. They got a lot of the same skill set players.
Right.
They're a little bit more expecting. We're gonna be a little bit more surprising. This is gonna be a fun little rivalry. I think that the Suns Jazz usually don't have a rivalry. Like we've peaked at different times. throughout our history.
Right.
This would be fun. This isn't like Suns Lakers or Suns Spurs. This might be a new thing with Mitchell and Booker going back head to head.
I think you might be on to something, because I think it's got something to do with everybody that was competing in that bubble. And so when you think about rivalries now, you look at this Jazz, and you also got to throw the Denver Nuggets in there with Murray.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that they seem the same. All these three teams seem like they got the exact same roster. Like that superstar, you know, the up-and-coming superstar that's holding it down for their team with a bunch of pretty good pieces around them, and, man, can score like crazy. So here we go. So, and this kid out here can shoot the freaking rock, man. Langston Galloway. This dude can straight light it up.
He's very efficient.
He is lighting it up right now. So, oh, let me turn this thing off, man. I'm going to be all distracted trying to see this game.
Go to the game cast.
Yeah, I got to just go to the game cast, because otherwise I'm going to be stuck on this thing, man.
Yep. You're going to be on it way too much. You used to be watching it, staring off into the distance while we're talking. Yeah.
Right. Be like, what is he talking about? Who is he looking at? If you watch it on Facebook Live, you see my eyes drifting over to the side over here. It's like, I got that Suns game up, but I just turned it off. But, man, after three straight weeks, ever since the Hail Mary Murray, we hadn't talked about a Cardinal win, and we get to speak on a Cardinal win tonight. But before we do that, let's find out what else is going on in this world of sports.
What's going on?
What's going on?
Yeah, what's going on?
What's going on?
In the casual house.
Man, what's going on? Is that thing coming in loud?
coming in hot, baby.
Coming in hot. That sucker came in real hot. Right now, of course, the Jazz and the Suns are going at it for the second time in 2 days. The Jazz won the first matchup, of course, preseason, and it looked exactly like a preseason game. I really didn't really care too much about the score. I didn't really care too much about anything other than, you know, seeing how these teams going to gel together. And I look at this Suns team, man, and they got an abundance, and I mean it, an abundance of shooters on this team.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we are.
What'd you expect? It's James Jones. He's a shooter. He's going to build it with shooters.
Exactly. Exactly. We are overloaded with shooters, man. I'm like, what? I mean, I watched that Saturday game, Langston going off. Etwan Moore went off hitting like three in a row, and a couple other guys. And I said, all those dudes hitting those threes, and Cam Johnson ain't even shot one yet. Yeah. It's crazy.
What I love about the like you said, abundance. I'm going to go with plethora because my dad
yeah, there you go. There
plethora
you go.
Of shooters, right? When you have that word of the day, plethora, right? Brought to you by Sean McCall Industries. Anyways, when you have that many shooters, if someone's having an off night, just run them off the bench and swap somebody else in. Basically, that's all you get. There's no off nights when you have that many shooters.
Basically, I was like, win-win. Wow. I was like, wow. Campaign came in and he had to get on the bench. Carter came in, knocked down a couple of threes. I said, okay, when you sit them guys down, who you got? Langston came. I was like, boy, this team is deep and can keep the scoring up when somebody goes off the bench. So something they haven't had in a long time. So let's see. Hopefully that'll be the trend. I mean, not a 3-point crazy shooting team, but just the guys that we have that can get inside. Booker, I watched him on Saturday night and tonight as well. He is getting in that little inside, that little mid range, and making it now. Like it's like automatic. Remember last year he was hitting it, but he kept bouncing off the dang rim for some reason a lot of times.
Yeah, like the back sometimes.
Yeah. But now it's just. Bang, it's going straight in. Like, man, okay, if he's one-on-one all day long, that's just gonna be all day.
We're thinking football. We're thinking like it's like Hopkins one-on-one. Like this is basketball's different, right? It's a little different. One-on-one is whatever.
One-on-one is one-on-one, but if you one-on-one with somebody and you run into a screen or a pick or whatever you want to call it, I don't know, but he can get his own shot anytime he gets ready to. Booker can. And now you throw CP3 in there, and I get to see how he operates this team. And they are, man, shooters are spread out, and CP3 can still score the ball too. So it's going to be pretty interesting to see what goes on in this West, man. But Javon Carter looks more comfortable. I saw that on Saturday. Booker, like I said, is getting his spot and getting his range and getting any shot he wants on the field. This new rookie, Jalen Smith, looks comfortable. Like he's been here already. I mean,
yeah, he's a baller.
He come out firing threes too. He can hit the three too. I'm like, wow, he's a baller.
Like active. He's very active.
Sticks is active. Sticks is active, and I think the fans are gonna love this kid. I mean, he looked like Urkel and mixed a cross between Urkel and Blank Man. But he tight though. Sticks got it. One thing I noticed about him and the other guy, Jones, very, very active in the paint. Oh, my goodness, they're very active in the paint. They do not allow any shots to come in there without them being contested.
It's so nice to see.
Yeah, my point exactly, because our number one pick doesn't do that. And here I go. I don't want to start this year banging on Aiden. Let me not get
Suns. He's not even fresh yet.
I don't want to get Suns Nation all up in an uproar, and we ain't even started the season yet. But I watched him out on that Saturday game, and before I saw the game the day before, he was doing a bunch of talking. And I'm like, oh, here we go. And I was doing this. Oh, stop.
Make it stop.
He was yapping about it. He wants blood, and he wants this, and he wants. I'm like, oh, my God, stop.
You know, he'd be a great guest for the Patrick Peterson podcast. I'm just saying. They're like two peas in a pod.
Exactly, man. But I noticed, like, when he went out of the game, the aggression in the paint ramped up. And I'm just telling you the truth. That's what I noticed.
He wanted blood. He didn't say he wanted to cause the blood.
He said he wanted blood. He said he was going to go dunk on somebody. He was just talking, dude.
He's more Grey's Anatomy instead of Dexter. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just saying the aggression and the aggression changed energy-wise in the paint when Aiden went to the bench. Because you start seeing guys coming in laying it up. He's too late getting over there, or he's trying to stay with Gobert and don't know how to play Gobert and the rim at the same time. But these other guys come in there and do it with no problem. I'm like, what is that? Why is that?
But what do you think? You think they're going to dangle him around as a trade piece possibly?
Nah, I
don't
think
he's that bad.
No, he's not that bad. I just think that I think over the course of the time, he'll start to see those other guys doing what they do. Like, man, because he was tired. I could see that. A lot of guys were running tired because of that altitude down there they play in, and everybody was kind of in a huff and puffing with their hands on their knees. And I get that. Yeah. That's the first game coming back, whatever. So I wasn't really trying to, come down too hard on him. But I just noticed how he's late in the paint when it's contesting shots. And he's supposed to be, and then other times he looks really good at it, So it's like when he can stay consistent, oh man, the sky's the limit for this dude. But I think he just needs to shut up first and do it first and stop doing all his yapping, man. Because, he's still a dude to me. And I don't know if you've seen this yet, but he's still that dude, what we used to call back in the day, a clearance dunker. Meaning, it's all clear. Nobody's under there. Go ahead and dunk. And that's when he dunks the basketball.
He doesn't want to get undercut.
I get that, too. You don't want to get undercut. You don't want to get hurt or whatever. But still, that's what the aggression everybody wants to see. You dunk on somebody. When you dunk on somebody, it's not coming off a CP3 lob. It's coming off of you putting your back to the rim, spin, and go over somebody. And we haven't seen that.
I want to see him rip the rim off.
And that's another thing. And this is the last thing I'm going to say about this on Aiden, because I was waiting to see him attack Gobert in the paint. He did not attack Gobert one time in the paint in that game. Not once. He settled for that fake and that jumper all night. And he did not put his back toward Gobert, backs him into the rim, back him down, and go up over him with a layup or something. Nope. Fadeaway jumpers all night. I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. So I just hope that Mark Bryant, CP3, whoever has to have an intervention for this kid to get him to have some type of aggression in him, because he's a good yapper though. I give him that. He can talk with the best of them. I would definitely give him that. He can talk crap with the best of them. But what else we're gonna talk about here? Of course,
I got some NFL stuff for you.
Okay,
if you
let's go there. What do we got?
There were some weird games to me. Weird and good, right? I mean, the Bears finally getting a win, 36-7. I mean, Houston's no pushover. They're a lot better than their record shows. But the Bears just showed them up, 36-7.
Like, I don't think they came to play, man. I think Will Fuller wasn't out there. and a couple of those receivers were out, and they just felt like, oh, we ain't here to play. And they just like,
but you look at
up.
That matchup right now and that week, like that, those teams should have been kind of even,
right?
At least, right?
And or at least a shootout to a point to where not like right. not a scoring shootout, but to the point right. where they're like somebody, you know, get a turnover here or there down the stretch and win the game with a field goal or something down the stretch. But nah, you would never expect the Bears to blow somebody out like that.
No, not like that.
That's
and
just
shout out,
that was
shout
no
out to
effort.
Washington.
Right.
Washington took care of San Fran. Pretty much put the nail in the coffin almost there.
Hopefully.
We got Tampa Bay doing us a favor against the Vikings.
Man,
the
way
huge.
That game started, I thought, here we go. The Vikings about to take him out. I text you. I said, man, look like they about to pull Brady because he was just missing on everything.
Tampa
and
Bay
all of a sudden,
through.
He just – all of a sudden, he just clicked and went, you know, went crazy on him. So,
and now Jalen Hurts, which we're going to get into later, but
yes,
led the Eagles
yeah.
to victory against the Saints, which nobody
now,
saw
nobody
coming.
Nobody saw that one coming. Nobody.
Actually, 4% of the people saw that coming in the pigskin, just so you know. 4%.
I mean, who actually really picked him, though? I mean, I know it wasn't us. It wasn't me.
No, it wasn't Philly either, I tell you that.
Nope. Wow. Yeah, that's that was definitely unexpected, and now that's hopefully that'll get the Cardinals' attention that that team is to be reckoned with. We can't go in there thinking,
don't
sleep on them, especially another second-year starting quarterback rookie that's coming in there to play us again. We did that earlier with Tua and got bit. But, what else are we going to – was anything else out there before we jump into this Cardinal game? Oh, let's look at the NFC playoff picture. I'm pretty sure the Cardinals jumped back into the seventh spot.
I got the playoff. I got the playoff machine pulled up, ready to go. I don't got the standing.
Oh yeah, the last
the
3 weeks
machine.
Are gonna be something else, man. The last 3 weeks are gonna be something else. Matchup wise, who has the toughest schedule? I believe out of the Vikings, Buccaneers, Bears, Cardinals, and there should be one other team, but. For the most part, it's the Vikings and Cardinals, pretty much, because everybody else is pretty much going to be done with.
They're pretty much locked in above and then below.
They can still make this thing at 8-8.
They could. It's a lot slimmer at 8-8. You need the Vikings to kind of lose out. And that's right. going to be tougher. We slept on the Bears this week. Bears play the Vikings at Vikings. That could be a game where the Bears decide, you know what, we're not going to listen to Kirk Cousins throwing 3-yard passes. We're going to shut him down. Maybe they can shut down Dalvin Cook, too. That could be tough. Then after that, they play at New Orleans. Drew Brees might be back by then. that's tough for them, too. And then the last game that the Vikings play is at Detroit. And Detroit might just want to play spoiler. So who knows what you're going to get there.
Right. Yeah, you don't want the Bears to start winning either. Because if they start winning and we lose some games, they got the tiebreaker on us as well. So
that is true.
Man. So, okay, yeah, we can't allow them to start winning games. There's only three games, but two out of three.
The Bears play Vikings, Jacksonville, which is definitely a win, and then Green Bay, which will be a loss.
Okay.
With a rested Rodgers, I think that's still going to be a loss.
Yeah. Okay, so, man, the whole thing comes to winning out. If you win out, you're in, for sure.
The Cardinals, yeah.
For sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But you lose one, you can still make it in at the seventh seed, probably, but you'll be matching up to a New Orleans Saints team, probably, because they're going to be the number two seed. And I like that matchup, though. Simply because the New Orleans Saints right now, they don't know what they are right now, because you better give some time for Breeze to get back in and get comfortable, because if you wait to the last couple of weeks, he come back rusty, you get beat again in the playoffs. So I would love that.
There's going to be 44 or 43 running at your back. I'm telling you that right
now. There you go.
And all you want is a helmet on those ribs. I'm just saying, hey, New Orleans, it's coming. I'm just letting you know.
Coming.
You put a hit out on Kurt Warner all those years ago. I'm just letting you know.
I remember that.
We got some dogs now. I'm just letting you know.
Remember that.
Careful what you wish for.
Yeah, so, man. So, can we – and then Cardinals can actually get all the way to the 5 seed if they win out and a couple other things go their way. Like, you know, the Bucks lose another game maybe here and there or Seattle might have to lose another game, probably, which they could happen because they play the Rams.
Trouble for the Bucks is they play the Falcons twice and the Bears. That's their matchup for the Bucks. I don't see them losing one. They could lose one, say, to Atlanta. But
yeah,
could even get
Tampa
to
Bay got by their hard part, the hardest part of their schedule too. Yeah. So yeah, is this going to come down to the Cardinals just winning out? We got to.
I kind of almost like the, like you said, I like the New Orleans matchup better than going at Washington, for example, if it is Washington that ends up being there. Because right now,
I don't think anybody wants to play that team right now.
Regardless of their offense, which isn't impressing anybody, but that defense right now is scaring the hell out of a lot of people.
Yeah. Did you see Chase Young yesterday?
That man looked like he was ready to tear people's heads off.
He looks.
And he runs like a gazelle, man. He looked like DK Metcalf running down the field.
Right. All right, well, let's take a quick break here. We got to come back and talk about what happened on yesterday's game. Another East Coast game for the Cardinals, finally. But another East Coast game, and the only time we've won on the East Coast was in New York. Both the New York teams are the only teams we've beaten on the East Coast in the last 3 years since 2018. I'm not even going back to Bruce Arians because we a lot of those 11 o'clock games we failed too. But
that's true.
From 2018 on up till today, the only teams that we've beaten on that East Coast is the New York teams. Now it's two times against the Giants and one time in the Jets. So when we come back, let's talk about what happened in that game and some things that was good and some things that were pretty suspect. You're listening to the Casual Sports Show. Earl Burnett, Sean McConnell. We'll be right back, Bird Gang. Y'all stick around out there. This is KSRN. We'll be right back.
We're going to take a little break, but we'll be back in a while, so don't nobody go nowhere.
Hi, this is Ed Smith, host of the Easy Sports Talk Show. In addition to hosting the show every Saturday, did you know I'm also an inspirational and motivational speaker? Utilizing life experience in my 15-year professional sports career, I offer programs to a wide variety of audiences, tips from the locker room to the boardroom and beyond. Whether you're a corporate executive, sports organization, or faith-based organization, Ed Smith Speaks can customize a team-building, motivational, and inspirational program to fill your needs. I'd love to come inspire and motivate your group to create life long shining moments. To learn more about booking me for your event, visit edsmithspeaks.com or contact me directly at info@edsmithspeaks.com.
When was the last time you had your awnings cleaned? What about the oil stains on your driveway? Majestic Services has you covered. They're your pressure washing and window cleaning experts. With over 11 years of experience, they'll provide you with a free, no-obligation quote for your awnings, driveways, stucco, concrete, asphalt, pool deck, stone, and more. Give Matt a call at 602-881-8228. Commercial or residential, let Majestic Services do your dirty work. 602-881-8228.
You are listening to the best internet radio station on the web, KSRN, Arizona.
Welcome back into the Casual House. Earl Burnett, Sean McConnell right here on the Casual Sports Show. Hit us up on our mobile app, www.ksrnaz.com. Or you go wherever you get your podcast. And I do mean wherever you get it. You put KSRN in there and we are there. All right. So the Cardinals finally get another win after three straight weeks after the Hail Mary, which we probably should have lost that game. And we won that game against a very, very good Bills team that are just right now on fire right now. If they hadn't had that loss, they'd have been, what, five in a row for them right now or something around that for the Bills? They've been on a hot streak right now. That offense it just flows down the field, all up and down the field, because Josh Allen has taken another leap into elite, man. He has taken a leap into, man, that's where we want Kyler to be at, taking that leap to be just automatic every time, that you're going to do that same job every time, no matter what defense you're facing. And I think that's what this game came down to and helped us kind of see something, because I thought for sure we would struggle with this defense, the Giants. I thought we would struggle with that defense. And to a point, we almost did, because I can't say it was a struggle, actually. I just think they're a good defense, and they're going to get stops. That's what they do. And I thought that this team would come in and struggle really bad at moving the ball against that team, but they did a hell of a job on offense going up and down the field on that defense. And it was because Cliff may have, you know, tweaked some things and actually finally listened to some – I think he's listened to some media people out there, because a lot of people were asking questions about, don't you think you should try this and try this? He said, yeah, we might. Okay, see, he might listen to somebody. But whatever he did, he allowed some things to change to get that offense back in a rhythm, or back to where they were flowing up and down the field like they, you know, like they were doing earlier in the season.
I'm not going to give him that much credit yet that he's listening and adapting and changing, because we've seen it, and then we've seen him take it away for 3 weeks, right?
Yeah,
we've seen the change, and then he's taken it right back and said, no, I'm doing it my way. The one thing that I will say, though, that did change, Kyler Murray looked comfortable and ready to run the ball again.
Right.
And that, to me, was the real cog in this game, at least for the offense. The actual thing that affected the game more than anything was, what was it, 7 sacks on Daniel Jones? He was like a rag doll out there, just getting shoved, pushed, kicked. Didn't matter.
It was 8 total.
8.
Yeah.
Eight.
Five from
Snowman.
Five from Hassan, 2 from Gardeck, and 1 from the Junkyard Dog. But yeah, man, that was a heck of a defensive game as well, too. I mean, we already knew, we said in the neutral zone that offense wasn't going to scare anybody, and they didn't. So. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't worried about what that offense was going to do. In fact, I don't think that, I think they only crossed the 50-yard line into our territory once when they got that scoring, when they got the 7 points. And that they shouldn't have got, because the defense kind of just laid back a little bit and gave up that. But, you know,
it was that one Golden Tate 39-yard reception, which was the team leader 39 yards in one reception for Golden Tate.
You take that away, it's a shutout. So, I mean, it pretty much was a shutout anyway, but – I mean, let's look at this game from another. I mean, let's look at this team from another. I mean, from this standpoint, we saw that game against a good defense. Now you're going to be facing some pretty good defenses on the way out, as far as winning, having to win out. Now that you faced a pretty tough defense and stood up and went through them, do you see the Cardinals being able to do that to a Philly, to a San Francisco, and to a Rams team coming up? Because those are some pretty stout type like defenses that, you know, are going to give you some problems. So in other words, we're in the 7th spot for the playoff. Do they really look like a playoff team to you? And can they go up and down and feel like they used to on some of these defenses?
There's been games where you think, yeah, this is a playoff team, right? I mean, we all bought the hype. We thought it. We saw it. We were looking at it. Those were in all the wins.
Of course.
The scary part's in all the losses. And all the losses is where things go, no, they're not. They're definitely not. It's so starkly different, right? There's not really games where you're like, they played great, they just didn't have enough. It was never that. It was always this, and this is the reason you lost. And why are you doing these things? Why are you still in this area where you're getting all these penalties on offense? Why aren't you using this guy? Why aren't you doing this scheme? Why are you throwing horizontally and doing all this stupid stuff that you know doesn't work? Mm-hmm. That's the stuff that's so glaring in the losses that make you say, no, they're not. But if they can learn to adapt and play to their competition and mold their schemes around their competition, then yes, they are. But it's so wishy-washy, this team.
But see, there's the key where you keep saying, and everybody keeps saying that same thing, if they can learn. We're at week 14. They haven't done it by now, and I keep thinking, wait a minute, what can we change? If we haven't done it by now, we are who we are. But because you know, as the league starts out, it starts out, people are hot, and then some people fall off, they get cold, and then they're contenders and pretenders that start to rise up, like the Bears were 5-0, you know. Somebody always falls off and prove themselves that they were a pretender. At least 2 teams do. We were hanging around that pretender spot for the last 3 weeks. Like, okay, we might not be as good as we think we are. Okay, now that we've gotten this one win, and it's just the Giants, and I don't want to call that a big Giant win, no pun intended, but I just don't. it was a win that I think this team needed because they needed to see some positive going forward. So now that they've saw that this offense can be what it's supposed to be, they saw Kyler can still be comfortable in the pocket and actually step up through the pressure and make a throw. We see these things now. So now, okay, is that what we needed for this team to say, okay, now we're going to cross over into December and really ball out these last four games? They could possibly win out these last games and actually, you know, be that contender that we want, you know, we were hoping they would be from the beginning.
That's my hope, right? It's hard to make that call, seeing that they're now 1-3 out of their last four.
Right.
And it's not a good look,
right?
Obviously. My hope, my gut, my fanhood says, yes, they're going to make that leap. I'm going to say they're going to win 3, not 4, right, of the last four. They're going to probably, I think, maybe drop that Rams game. But my hope is that they do take care of business, finish off the Niners, who are reeling. I mean, that Washington loss was tough for them. And the Eagles, who now have some rejuvenation, but so did the Giants.
Right.
They had rejuvenation. And Jay mentioned it in our group chat. You know, the momentum is for both of these teams. The Cardinals now are back on track, or so they believe, and the Eagles now have hope because Wentz isn't throwing the ball.
Right.
So there's hope on both sides. The Eagles still technically have a chance to make the playoffs, and that is what's going to keep them alive.
Yeah, every game, like I said in the text, every game takes on its own identity, and I don't like to, you know, put teams in places, because if you were doing that, I mean, because remember I said in the text, hey, does this mean that we are really better than Seattle? Because the Giants just handled them like last week, didn't let them score. That's a dang good offense that they, you know, kept down last week. So, are the Cardinals better than Seahawks because they can handle the Giants? You know, but every game takes on its own identity. And we're going to get into that Philly game coming up, because I think that's going to be a total different dynamic that we are faced with, because it's another one of those quarterbacks. And this kid might be looking more to run first before he can pass it. And we don't do too good with that quarterback coming out of the backfield. But what has been the actual changes of why this team all of a sudden looked – I don't want to say they were fabulous, but they looked better. You know, I mean, was it the Buddha in the locker room speech? Was it the Patrick Peterson extra meetings that they're talking about, everybody having extra meetings during the week and trying to get everybody to talk? And, I mean, is it really all about just Kyler running? Did that just flip the whole thing like that?
I mean, I'm not an employee. I'm not a teammate. So I can't tell you the vibe that was being felt in all these meetings that was being had, right? Because it is important. And it does speak to some leadership that we were all saying is lacking extremely. Mm-hmm. So kudos to Buddha and Pat for
saying something. Doing
anything.
Right.
Larry back, even just knowing that 11 is back. Sometimes that's just enough to see that guy on the field and just know, like, yo, that's 11. That's a dude. that's the guy. He's still here. That type of stuff can do it. But seeing Kyler run, because all of a sudden that was so absent for the last 3 weeks. It wasn't like the game planned us out of it. Right. He just didn't do it.
Right.
He didn't do it. So seeing that, I think, is enough, because that's what keeps you dangerous. That's what keeps you on edge. The Giants almost looked like they didn't expect Kyler to run.
Right.
And he ran. And it was like they had no answer for it. It wasn't huge. He didn't light him up, torch him, but it did enough.
But he picked up those key first downs with those runs, a lot of runs, yes, too. So,
and 136 yards for DeAndre Hopkins. That helps, too.
Yeah, he got moved around, which Cliff moved him around finally. And people were expecting him on one side. He would go to the other side and come across the field, actually on a crossing route. It's like, wow, you know, they moved him around. And still they got eight.
Likes, whatever.
They got 8 snaps with Kyler under center too, and that looked pretty cool as far as a actual play where he faked, you know, play action. Like, I'm like, wow, that looked like an offense. That didn't look like air raid. That looked like an NFL offense, you know. So we'll see how that goes. But he had 10 runs for 52 yards technically. I mean, because of course he had the kneel down, so that took it down to 47. But technically, he had 10 runs for 52 yards rushing, averaging 5 yards of carry. But he picked up a couple of, what, 3rd and 3, picked up a 3rd and 5 or something like that. So those are key runs. And it wasn't any there was one time and they had a design play and a penalty stopped it, because he would have scored on that play probably.
Yeah.
But other than that, it was no design runs. It was pretty much off scramble. And I thought coming into this game, after watching this game, I thought the offensive line did a good job at giving him time to throw the ball and go through his progressions and get time to step up in the pocket, get time to see what he's looking at, and then know, okay, it's time to run. He knew when it was time to run. He wasn't just forcing the issue. It was, I got to take off because there's nothing else. You know, it wasn't nothing down the field. And he did a good job at that because the O-line did a good job at blocking for him. Offensively, other than that, what else stood out to you as far as the offense goes? I know how the O-line. What about the running game to you with Drake?
Drake was great to see. I mean, 80 yards, 23 carries. It wasn't like a stat-stuffing day for him, but it was good. And finally to see a running back jump over the pile, put his hands, put the ball over the line was great. Right. But like you were saying about Kyler making his progressions, it's almost like I'd never seen Kyler turn his head before.
Right.
Like it was weird seeing him actually turn his head and look around and see guys and then go, yeah, no, they're all covered. I'm going to take off and get this first down.
That was it.
That's great to see too.
Yeah. He's a passing quarterback. Everybody wants to put this running. I mean, running makes him just unique and dynamic, yes. But have you noticed in some of his pressers, he kind of shies away. He doesn't like being said about this running thing that he has to run for them to be successful. He doesn't want to hear that because he doesn't want to be classed as that same old running quarterback only, is why he's successful because he's a running quarterback or a runner first. As opposed to him being a pocket passer that he can pass the ball.
Think back to the Seattle game. What was the one thing that made Kyler smile? The first Seattle game. He smiled. It was a big thing nationally. You see Kyler Murray's got the ball. He's about to pass it, and he smiles because he sees something.
Oh, yeah, because he had Hopkins one-on-one down there.
That's what makes Kyler Murray happy, getting the ball to a man that's on a one-on-one. Come on. It's not running down for the first down.
I thought they didn't get the ball deep enough in their game as well either. I mean, maybe that's just the Giants defense, but they didn't take any shots in that game deep that I saw.
Not big one. No, I mean the longest. I mean they had a deep pass
like as far as what 20 that ran for 30 something because of, you know, after the run after the catch. But I'm talking about the bomb over the top. And let me ask you this. Are they losing any confidence in Christian Kirk? Because here we go again on the goal line when they, you know, after Junkyard got the fumble recovery, set him up. He should have scored on that dang jet sweep. I mean, I put my hands up like touchdown because all that space was right there in front of him. And he just, I don't know how he ended up getting caught. He just stopped and just went back in and ducked down. Like, what the hell was that? And that's another opportunity that just went down the drain from him again on the goal line. What's up with Kirk, man?
I think he picked the wrong hole on that one. I mean, it was close, and I'm not going to call that hole should have been a touchdown because there were still two other plays that Cliff definitely failed calling. That
right.
Goal line was a terrible, terrible.
That was horrible, especially the last play. Was great. The last play was really horrible.
It was sad, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if they're losing faith in Kirk, but they might just be losing faith in the deep ball. And this could be, again, maybe another cover for Kyler with his shoulder. Maybe they're afraid for him to throw the deep ball. Because, look, Isabella's taken out, too, because he's not consistent. Now we know we can win without the deep ball, which is great. It's good to have. But that deep ball also made that offense so scary because there's so many things you could do.
And there's so many things you can do, but – now this just makes that draft look so bad because Andy's supposed to be a little further along than where he is right now. He's supposed to be that guy that everybody, okay, we can't let that guy get behind us. He's not even on the field.
Yeah.
So we have no deep ball threat at all. And I thought this offense would be that, at least a couple of shots a game down on the deep ball. And I don't like the fact that they don't send D-Hop deep. He can get the deep ball too.
Yeah.
He can go out. He can go for the – I mean, Deshaun Watson used to hit him in the deep ball all the time in Houston. All the time.
Right there. Every time.
So, I mean, why can't we just give him the deep ball? If Kirk can't get it done – yeah, and D-Hop's, he's your horse. Let it go ahead and wear him out. Send him deep. Send him across the middle. Do you see how Josh Allen uses Diggs? Oh my!
A little goodness. Different receiver, but yeah, I mean,
it don't matter. Star receiver, the dude just locks in on that dude and know where he's going to be at. And I know they've only been together for this 1 year, just like the Kyler and the Hop, and yeah. They've already got a chemistry already. When it breaks down, Allen's eyes lock on Diggs, boom, and that's where Kyler and Hopkins are supposed to be right now. You can't deny this dude from being the best in the league. He wants to be the best, and if you hold him back, he's just going to be frustrated. So hopefully this is going to get him on track going forward, but we got to get that deep ball going again. I don't want to spend too much time on that, but, man, the offense, like I said, I mean, they were 2-for-7 in the dang on red zone. That was definitely not characteristic of this team, but like I said, again, that was a good defense they were playing against. So I don't look at that as a bad thing. I just look at, hey, you play a good defense, sometimes a good defense will force you to kick a field goal. So 2-of-7 in the red zone. Man, but I really wish Christian Kirk could get back to what he was doing in the beginning of the year, because he was coming on in the beginning of the year. Like he's gonna be a threat. But remember who I said was gonna be a threat in this offense back when the league before we first started, when we were doing all the predictions. I told y'all Dan Arnold was going to be a beast, man. I told y'all he was going to be a beast. This dude is going to be one of the better tight ends in this league. I'm telling you, he's already starting to be Kyler's comfort zone. When things break down, I'm just throwing more than
Mac Williams.
Yeah,
way more.
So, I mean, I love his hands. I mean, that one he almost caught on the end was a good catch. He just fell down and the ball just happened to move. But, I mean, he's a good pass catching tight end, and he's tall, so the pass that he threw in the touchdown, he's the only guy that was going to get that ball. So
way over everybody.
Yeah. So I love me some Dan Arnold. I knew that dude was going to be dope. So hopefully he'll continue to shine his offense. And then one thing about that, if he continues to be that much of a playmaker, now you have to account for him.
Yeah.
If you're a defender, the defense, you have to account for him, which is going to leave somebody else wide open.
So. Yeah, and hopefully that will help Kirk out, because I think that's what teams are trying to neutralize. Maybe they're
just. I don't know,
man.
These other receivers have to step up. Keyshawn Johnson, Isabella, Kirk, they have to step up. The plays are out there to be made. They have to just make them, man. They have to take them. You can't just sit back and think it's just going to, you know, be given to you. You got to go out there and take it if it's there, because Arnold's going to demand some more attention now. You know Hop's going to demand attention, and Fitz going to demand attention, then Kyler coming out of the back. Those guys have to make plays now. You have to. So I don't know about Isabella. I don't know. That might be the worst pick. You know, you remember how Al Davis used to always go for the speed guy no matter what? That kind of felt like that pick for us. We just need a speed guy. And rather having DK Metcalf, we went for Andy Isabella. But anyway, that's another story. But the defense is pretty much where this game was won, right? I mean, the defense just balled out. I mean, where do you even start on the defensive end? I mean, wow, you got to start with Hassan Reddick, right? I mean, come on.
He's 5-for-5. He goes out, he gets 5 tackles, and all of them are sacks. I mean, come on.
And they were not gimme sacks.
No.
They were not coverage sacks either. This dude is fast off that edge, and he looked like he's getting faster. I'm like, did you see him blow by that dude? I was like, and it felt like he was like leaning sideways so low that it was like he was running down low to the side. I'm like, man, he 43, 44, and 45 were all over the place in that game.
This is let me just say why this is a brilliant move by Kime and Kingsbury here. And Vance, because Vance finally wised up and put Reddick where he belongs. Now, some injuries led to that, but I guarantee you Vance is going to be putting Reddick in coverage.
Yeah, he ain't going back to no linebacker. He's going to stay right where he is.
Because of this. Absolutely. But this is why this is brilliant, because you brought back a guy like Brenson Buckner, who was the beast coach for that off amazing defensive line that we had in the Bruce Arians era. That's what's getting Reddick faster and being able to run while he looks like he's horizontal. It's because of a coach like this that's grinding on him, and he's learning, and he's getting better, and he's getting better. He's coming back next year. I'm pretty sure that's why Kime was there to greet him after Reddick was crying after the game, saying, yep, okay, you got your contract. I'll mock it up right now. Because he's at what? He's at 10 for the year now, right?
Yeah, well, don't sleep on it. Somebody else might want to give him more money, and then you can't pay him, and then you lose him. So, and you know that's what Seattle does. They need a pass rusher. But, I mean, I think he should be back. I think they should get him back in no matter what the cost, because I think he's just starting to get into that groove of, this is what I was drafted for. This is what I should have. This is where I should have been, but, you know, when they took me from the draft. Because that's what he was doing in Temple. He was coming off the edge all day long. And he's getting that rhythm back, and he's getting that power back and the speed.
Yeah.
And so I just looked at his arm, and I was like, he getting bigger. Did you see? Did you see what I was telling him? I said, this dude look bigger too, don't he? He's getting bigger and faster and strong. So he's going to be a force. And I'm hoping going forward in these next games, especially going into if you make it to a playoff game, that's going to be key to have some pass rush. So
yeah, because it's still they're still kind of quiet on him scheme wise offenses, right. And now you can't be, which means that either it's going to open up Marcus or Gardeck or pick a name, because we're just throwing them in now.
Yeah,
with no Chandler Jones, we're just take a guess where it's coming from. You're not going to know.
Out of 40,
they rushed four guys
right
the whole game,
right,
and then put four linebackers back,
right.
Brilliant.
43, 44, brilliant. And 45. How do you even start to rotate those guys now, because you got to give Gardeck some time in there. This dude, I mean, wow, what a story. I mean, he just took one position on special teams and has turned himself into a pass rusher just because of how he plays the game.
Yeah.
And you cannot deny him some time. He got two sacks in that game, and it wasn't garbage time. He went and got legit two sacks.
Yeah.
So he's been with his hair on fire since they put him, you know, and they only put him in there every once in a while. It's like, and I think somebody's got to take Kennard's place, because Kennard has not done a thing since he's been here.
I think the reason why, though, is his size. So Gardeck's size hurts when it comes to run defense, right? Hmm. Because he's right there on the line, and maybe that's why Kennard's in there. Maybe they're swapping them for defense or for run and pass.
Maybe.
But to that point, New York didn't have a lot of great running backs,
right,
to play with. They're not.
That's
they don't have
true.
Saquon,
that's
obviously.
True. That's true.
Morris didn't get a lot of playing time, only got three carries. The Giants total had 78 yards rushing. Hmm. That's not a lot. It's not a lot.
Man,
the Cardinals defense is undersized.
Right. They are kind of undersized, yeah.
That's what's going to be a problem going on deeper in the playoffs. Or deeper
right,
in the
so – We don't want to downplay what Reddick did or what any of those guys did, but when you look at that Giants offensive line, that offensive line is going to be totally different from that next team's offensive line. So mm-hmm. you're not going to be able to just think you're going to be able to do the exact same thing that you did to that offensive line, because that offensive line that you're going through next week is probably got all their starters on it, and it's probably got people that have been playing a lot longer, got better technique or whatever it may be. So that's what makes it harder. But I think if this Cardinal team can still generate that type of pass rush, or at least some type of pressure, getting at the quarterback, maybe not all the way to him, but making Hurts and all the quarterbacks they're going to face get off their sweet spot.
Yeah.
And that's what we've been lacking the last 3 to 4 weeks. And when I saw it this week, I was like, wow, is it just the offensive line of the Giants that bad, or are we just on fire right now that we just – you know, what got the Cardinals up, pumped up so much to where they can, you know, come off the edges the way they've been coming off the edges in that game. So, I don't know. Hopefully it can continue. But, like I said, every game takes on a different dynamic because of the talent. Every game takes on a different dynamic because of whatever the case may be. You can't expect the same thing from each game.
Right.
So, we'll see how that goes. But hopefully – they can still get that pressure with those four, because you're going to need some more of those linebackers spying Hurts, because Hurts is going to be running all over the field. Literally designed plays of him to coming out of that backfield, because he only had 160 yards passing. That's not going to hurt you passing the ball. He's not going to kill you passing the ball. He's going to hurt you being that dual threat running the ball. So, and we don't do too well with those running quarterbacks, man. And lately we just haven't. We get killed on the screens, and we get killed on the runner from the quarterback.
Here's one guy that showed that he is our answer to that problem.
Simmons.
When we played Seattle twice. Isaiah Simmons.
Yeah.
Because we finally have our sideline to sideline linebacker, baby.
Okay.
I'm telling you.
So he just spied for Hurts all day then.
He didn't even have to ask coach. He didn't say, coach, what's my assignment? He already knows.
Right.
Got one guy.
If you're smart, Vance Joseph, then that would be the definite recipe to calming him down, not letting him get out there and kill us. And if you neutralize him, our offenses, they do the thing they say, they do what they do. That should be a win in that, especially at home. It should be a win, right? What else does Philly, you know, threat-wise pose to us other than, you know, that running quarterback? If you can neutralize that running quarterback, what else do they have? I mean, their running game's okay, too.
Running game's okay. To me, their defensive line is still formidable.
Oh, yeah,
still
that Fletcher Cox, man. That dude is crazy.
So that's a good thing for the Philly Eagles right there. But, yeah, there's not a lot. I mean, right now that team, they allow more points than they do score. What happened to the Saints, I mean, they almost pulled it out, but they got themselves in a big hole, 17-0.
Right.
That's hard, especially with the backup quarterback and Taysom Hill.
Taysom Hill didn't do a lot of running in that game.
No.
So, I mean, Fletcher Cox and those guys, they tee off on guys that are pocket passers. They're going to have some issues with Kyler. Kyler's not going to just be a stable, I mean, just sitting there for them to just go attack. He's not going to be that. And they don't want to chase him around all day either. So that's going to be different for them because, you know, the Eagles do get pressure and they get sacks, but on guys that are just big stones. And for some reason, Sean Payton didn't run Taysom that much in that game. And you would think he would take off himself and run, but he wanted to prove he can throw the ball, I guess. But
yeah, it almost felt like kind of like an audition tape. Because when Breeze is gone, what are you going to do? So let's see if he can just straight up pass it.
Let's see what the Eagles can do too. Future wise, next year, that could be it. I don't think he's going to be their starting quarterback though. I mean, but when you think of where this league is going, and Sean Payton's the way he thinks, there's a possibility that could happen.
Yeah.
All right. Let's jump into something we haven't done in a minute. We haven't done this in a while.
Here's to those who just
something on his head.
That must mean can't get right.
Can't get right. That's the kid's name?
Yep.
No! Can't get right.
Can't get right! This is you, baby!
You can't get right.
Can't get right.
Can't get right.
Man, we haven't had that in a long time.
In a three-game losing streak, we should have had it.
I know. We should have been had that on there. Yeah. There's a lot of things that we couldn't get right in that game or in that stretch. But yesterday's games were kind of, like you said earlier, weird.
Yeah.
Kickers had a bad day yesterday. What was up with
except
that?
Except for Mike Nugent.
Kickers had a bad day yesterday. 10 missed easy kicks and 4 of them extra points from guys that don't miss.
Thank you, Vikings. Thank you.
From guys that don't miss. Even tonight, Parkey from the Cleveland, I think, or one of them teams tonight missed the field goal that was like 30-something yards. I'm like, wow, what's going on with the air? When one kicker starts missing, they all start missing or something. What is it? Like, dang.
Foot infection. It's fungal.
And they were missing extra points and 30-yard field goals all day yesterday. I thought, like, what the heck is going on with the kicking game? And then, of course, you got to throw in that massacre that happened at the Territorial Cup. My gosh. What the heck happened to Arizona? 70-7? Really? Were they that bad? Or did they just come in here and say, we don't want to play for this dude no more and just gave up? That's what it looked like to me, man. That's what it looked like.
That's not even giving up. That's not even showing up. It's like they weren't even on the field. 70? That's an Alabama score. Not a territorial cup.
No.
Not a territorial cup.
Jaden Daniels sat out there, what, the whole second half in that game almost?
Got a foot massage, went and got some Jamba Juice.
And they were playing all these freshman kids that was just, you know, hey, we getting time. They had this, the Chinese kid came in there and got him a touchdown and everything. I'm like, man, they were just clowning. It's like, wow, how do you not show up for the Territorial Cup? Well, that's always been at least a competitive battle no matter what the two teams looked like coming in, they would always battle each other. Was ASU really that much a better team than U of A?
I mean,
and if so, yeah. And if so, why it hasn't shown when they played USC and UCLA?
Hey, it's a whole different thing playing the territory cup. Lives are on the line.
I guess right?
As someone is now sent off and out. You're welcome, U of A fans. You're welcome.
And who else can't get right? Let's just we talk kicking. Let's throw our man in there. Back soreness, really, Zane? Or did they just use that as an excuse to say, we don't want you out there this week? Let's just say you got some back issues.
I saw somebody put the injury report and they changed it. Instead of back, it said head.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's funny. That's brutal. That is brutal.
Right now, the Suns can't get right. End of the third. They're down 17.
Are you kidding me? They were just in the game. 17.
I don't think they're playing anybody.
It's a preseason game. They're just trying to play all the people and try to put.
Booker's got 24. That's all I'm saying.
Well, we'll see. That's going to take a while to get that ship, you know, totally on the same page. But, man. They were just in the game. They were up like 3 points last I checked before halftime.
Should have kept the game on, man. I don't know what you did. I don't know who told you to turn it off.
Who else can't get right? What Mr. Kyrie Irving cannot get right, man. This dude is always causing some controversy over nothing. Why is that? Over nothing. Dude.
Uncle Drew just does what he does.
It is your job. You're in the entertainment business. It is your job to speak to the media. That's what you're supposed to do. Sorry, you should have thought about that before you got into this thing on thing. I mean, but if you got the money to keep paying the fine, I mean, do what you got to do. But, I mean, come on, dude. Just stop causing all the trouble and just do what you got to do. that's crazy.
I'm just here so I won't get fined.
I'm just here so... I had some other stuff that I wanted to look at too. Some stuff went down in history on this same day in sports. I don't have time to play the intro because our intro to that is like really long, but it's like 3 minutes. I don't know how the hell I ended up making a 3 minute intro, but back on this same day, December 14th, 1958. Pat Summerall kicked a game-winning field goal against the New York Giants for the New York Giants against the Cleveland Browns at Yankee Stadium. They used to play at Yankee Stadium. I didn't know that. Football at Yankee Stadium? I didn't know that. So that was pretty interesting. I said, I know the name Pat Summerall. That's the dude that do all the, you know, used to call the games with John Madden and all those, you know, back in the day.
Yeah.
1980, Minnesota Vikings passed for 456 yards against the Cleveland Browns, winning 28-24. 456 yards in 1980. That must have been big back in the 80s. Yeah, in the 80s, because they were, you know, the passing wasn't like it is right now. 88 was a pretty good year, too. NBA Miami Heat wins their first game ever, 89-88 over the Clippers. Man. After 17 straight losses, they were the expansion team. 17 straight losses, and they finally got a win over the Clippers in 88. 88 was a pretty good year, man. I think if I remember correctly, and I'm just guessing, I think I'm right, but I remember that was the debut of The Simpsons and Married with Children.
I was -2 years old.
It's -2. The Simpsons and Married with Children. Now, Married with Children is off the air, but The Simpsons are still going. Maybe not new shows, but maybe they are still doing new shows. I don't know.
Yeah, they're older than me.
Yeah, they are. They started in 88. I remember that. I don't know why or how, but I just remember that debut. They came on right back to back from each other. Married with Children and The Simpsons came on first, then Married with Children out after them. Premiered in 88. Don't ask me how I remember that, but I'm that old, I guess. 1996, a couple are on this same day in 96. The Heisman Trophy, Danny Werfel. Where did he go? What happened to him? What happened to him? Was he a bust or what? 2 years later, in 98, Ricky Williams, and of course, 09, Mark Ingram, and of course, 2019, the same day last year, Joe Burrow. So it's a lot of history. Of course, it's going to be around the football area. I wanted to see that because it's around football season. I want to see some of the history back in football on this same day, but. We're out of time, man, and this is another one of those shows that just flies by, man. And I'll be talking about the Cavs. I'll be this Cardinal game all week, going into this Eagle thing with some preview of the Eagle game all week. And, of course, Neutral Zone on Thursday, we'll hit that off and get our picks in. And my picks look like crap right now. I swung for the fences and missed everything, man. I ain't lying. I missed everything. But thank you for coming in, Bird Gang, on Facebook Live. Thank you for coming in if you're listening on the mobile apps and live on KSRN. This is Casual Sports. Earl Burnett, Sean McConnell. We'll catch y'all next time. Peace out.
See you.